The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
You brought them. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you do so. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Today is Mother's Day. It's been all about celebrating, honoring, respecting, uplifting mothers. We're going to show enough highlight one here in the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. I'll be reading this morning from the New International Version of the Bible. Simply says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord. I want every mother who is here, whether natural, whether an adoptive mother, whether a foster mother, a stepmother, a godmother, like a mother, whatever the case may be. For it all started with the prayer of a mother. But I want you all to repeat these words after me. And here's the deal. I want you to repeat them. And I want you to repeat the words for every child that you have, every child that you've been blessed to have. I want you to repeat these words. I prayed for this child. If you got more than one, you better say, you ain't just pray for that one. It all started with the prayer of a mother who said, I prayed for this child. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. God bless you. Samuel, as you all know, Samuel was the last of the judges, and he was the first of the new line of prophets after Moses. You need to know that the law of God was being openly ignored, and it was into such a time that Samuel was born. Does that time sound familiar to you? Come on, somebody. Samuel gave the nation of Israel spiritual leadership in a dark period, even when the priesthood was defiled. Teach, Holy Ghost. This morning, for just a little while, I want us to examine how Samuel got his start as a great man of God. It all started, my brothers and my sisters, with his mother's prayer. She proclaimed with words from her own mouth right here in our text. She said, I prayed for this child. As a matter of fact, she said, I prayed for this child, and the Lord answered my prayer and gave him, talking about Samuel, to me. Now I give him back to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord all of his life. So it was the Lord who gave him to Hannah, and it was Hannah who gave him, Samuel, back to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever given your children back to God? And I hear some yes sirs, and I hear some amens. And I hear some of y'all thinking, I'd like to give them back. Come on, somebody. But I didn't think God would take them back. Come on now, huh? Man, I thought some of y'all, we didn't have these children, and you thought God had a no return policy on kids. Matter of fact, you thought he had that same, you got until 30 days, and some of y'all said, I still got my receipt. Come on, somebody. Amen. Truth is, my brothers and my sisters, whether you say it out loud, there's not one parent here who hasn't had a few moments or a few days when they wouldn't have liked to package up that little boy, that little girl, I'm talking to somebody, and take him or her back to God's customer service counter and demand, I want my money back. Come on, somebody. I need some honest Christians up in here. Come on. Story is told. The story is told of a little fella named Jacob. He went to his mama and he asked, Mama, what would you like for Mother's Day? She said, I like, Jacob, I would like 3 well-behaved children. Little Jacob said, well, Mama, that's awesome. He said, but then there will be 6 of us running around the house, Mama. And you act like you can barely handle us 3. Come on, somebody. Not suggesting that you return your kids to God and try to get your money back. But what I am asking is this. Have you really, truly recognized that your children are a precious gift from the Lord? And that not only that, but ultimately, they actually belong to God first, and to you second. This mother, Bible says she released the ownership of her child to God. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Moms and dads, it's important for us to understand and acknowledge that God is responsible for the way in which your children were imaged and imagined, designed, and put together. I recognize that conception has to happen. Come on, somebody. But it was God who conceptualized what that child would look like. It was God who already knew the plan and the purpose for their future. See, it's about you and I understanding and acknowledging that God chose us to be parents. He chose you to be a mother. He chose you, whoever I'm talking to be a father. He chose you to be the parent of that child or those children. And God knew that child before he or she was ever even born. And yes, you, ma'am, and yes, you, sir, were carefully selected by God to be the parents of those children that God has blessed you to have. And you need to understand that while we say we got a oops, baby, God don't have no oops. Come on, somebody. God does not make any mistakes. It doesn't make any mistakes, hear me today, neither with creation of a child, but nor does he make a mistake with the parents that he chooses for that child or those children. It's all about you understanding and acknowledging that God has left it up to you, to me, to us, to show our children his way. But that you are the only a guide. You are only a teacher. We are only parents. But ultimately, our children belong to God. My brothers and my sisters, it's about us releasing ownership of our children to God. Again, Hannah says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord answered my prayer and gave him to me. Now I give him back to the Lord. He will belong to the Lord all his life. So again, we read the scripture and we read it, but there's a message here. As a matter of fact, let's look at the blueprint, if you will, shown by this godly mother named Hannah, who prayed for her child and gave him back to the Lord. The first point I want to make here on this Mother's Day is that, number one, a godly mother believes in the power of prayer. Amen. A godly mother believes in the power of prayer. Listen, a godly mother is willing to pray for her family to the point of weeping before God. Heart of this entire story centers on Hannah's prayer. And we're told that she prays with tears. She prays with intensity. She prayed with purpose. But most importantly, she prayed believing. The Bible says that God heard her prayer and gave her the desires of her heart. And that's the way, quite honestly, we all need to learn how to pray. Especially for our children. Too many people, even in the Christendom or in the house of God, too many people are not praying with enough intensity or with purpose, but not enough, or sure enough, not praying, believing. When you give your child back to God, you acknowledge God's importance in your own life. Did you see what I just said? Amen. When you dedicate your children to God, you are simply making it clear that he, talking about God, is first in your own life first. Certainly, 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 your child, my children, all of our children are our most prized possessions. But you must not allow even them, come on somebody, to take the place of God in your life. First thing you are saying when you give that child back to the Lord is simply this, that you love God even more than you love that child. Now, I get it. That sounds harsh. It even sounds unloving, but you got to understand it really isn't. It's really a simple and powerful statement that actually blesses the child as they begin to understand the love of God for themselves. The thing is, hear me today, you cannot give what you don't possess. In other words, you can't give what you don't have, and that's why you must first give your life to Christ before you can give Christ to another person's life. Amen. You got to give God your love, your devotion first. Now, while I didn't spend any time recounting Hannah's story, but it's one that we're all quite familiar with. As a matter of fact, if you didn't close your Bible, you know the story. Starts right there in verse 1 of the text. I believe we can all agree 100% that this text deals with a woman of God and a woman of faith. This sister faced a season of life that lasted for an extended period of time. Have you been there? Some of you are in a season right now. And it's an extended season, an extended period in your life right now. I believe in my heart of hearts that there were probably times when Hannah might have even been tempted to give up and even abandon her faith. Have you been there? Need some honest Christians in here. But she remained committed to the Lord. She remained trusting in God that he would provide in his time and in his way. Walking by faith requires commitment. We talk about this thing, walk by faith and not by sight, but that's easier said than done. She prayed for and believed for a child that she didn't even believe she would be able to have, for the Bible says that her womb had been shut up. Bible says that it wasn't just shut up by anybody like a doctor. The Bible says it was the Lord that shut up her womb. But yet she walked by faith and not by sight, and she prayed for a thing that she didn't even know would come to pass. Yeah, Hannah's life beautifully betrays genuine commitment to faith. Which brings me to my second point. Second point is that a godly mother gives her children to God. Of course, Hannah's gift was probably a lot more giving and dramatic than most of us would even think to do. But a godly mother is convinced, hear me today, that God will help her children if she places them in his hands. Amen. Because a godly mother desires God's best for her children. Amen. She learns the wisdom of Christ's words in the garden when he said, Lord, not my will, but thine will be done. She does this because she's convinced that God's best is truly the only best. Now, I know we got Sunday's best dress. Come on, somebody. But we need to put our children in the hands of the Lord and not in the hands of designer clothes. Come on, somebody. But we got to make sure that our children know that only God's best is best. Which brings me to my third point, that a godly mother, watch this, keeps her word to God and to others. You see, God was able to trust Hannah with this awesome, wonderful baby boy because he knew he could trust her to do what she promised. As soon as Samuel was weaned, the Bible says that she marched him right up to the tabernacle and she honored her word to God. I don't need you to raise your hand, but how many of you made a promise to God that you're still trying to keep? Come on, somebody. Lord, this is the last time, I promise. This is the last time. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and say, pray for me. The Bible says she marched him right up to the tabernacle and she honored her word to God. But I want you to see something here. She didn't just take him there and leave him. Watch out now. She didn't just leave him there and walk away. She didn't just drop him off and forget about him. For 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 19 tells us that each year his mother made him a little robe and she took it to him and she went up with her husband to offer the sacrifice. Amen. Every year, she went to visit with her son. Don't mean any harm today, but there are too many parents, too many mothers, really parents today who are abandoning their children. Now, of course, when we hear the word abandon, somebody says, no, I haven't abandoned my children. They're still in my house. No, I'm talking about we've abandoned them to television. We've abandoned them to the internet. We've abandoned them to social media. We've abandoned them to the streets, etc. Not paying them any attention at all. And unfortunately, we have no clue what's going on in our children's private and or personal lives, whether in school or especially in social media. A tragic story, I keep going back to it, of that mother whose 8-year-old son, story is gold, and so many counts of the story, said he was being bullied in school. But yet when he came home and his mama said, baby, how was your day? He said, my day was all right. He went upstairs to his room, and the next thing she knows, he's hanging. We got to understand that a godly mother looks for all kinds of ways to tell her children about how God loves them and cares for them. And I'm not here to rebuke that mother. My heart goes out to her. My heart goes out to all mothers and especially parents. Because even as I see babies on our laps and children seated next to us in our seats, but I see some ones who have grown up, who have come back home. Listen, while they get too big to sit on our laps, they never get too big to sit on the seat of our hearts. Amen. And so, yeah, we thank God when we send our children away to college. But we sure enough need to check on them. And we're not trying to be helicopter parents, but we're just trying to make sure we don't have to follow a helicopter as parents to a place to come see you, because we didn't come see about you with simply a phone call. A godly mother looks for ways to tell her children about how God loves them and cares for them. She looks for ways to make them understand that God has a purpose for their lives, which I'm here to let you know. I don't care how much information is on the internet, you're not going to find your purpose from God on the internet. Amen. As a matter of fact, it's on the internet and in these other underworld devices that are luring our children into some arenas like human trafficking and other dark sides. And it's happening right under the nose of parents and guardians. Brothers and my sisters, godly mother is one of the most powerful forces on earth. For they have within their hands the ability to shape the future with their own children. They look for ways to drive home the point, Miller, in the hearts and minds of their children that they are really precious in the sight of God. Let me ask you, it's a rhetorical question. Don't raise your hand. And if you're taking notes, make sure folk ain't peeking over at your paper. But if your children walk in your footsteps, will they be walking in the footsteps of Jesus? I'll ask it again. I said, if your children walk in your footsteps, will they be walking in the footsteps of Jesus? You see, as I get ready to close, I thank God today for a praying mother. I thank God for a praying stepmother. I thank God for a praying grandmother, one who was still with me and one who has since gone on home to glory. I thank God for a praying mother-in-law who also has gone on home to glory, but all of which who have prayed for me that I would not only just grow up and make something of myself, but that I would be saved. And then not only that I would be saved, but I would belong to the Lord all my life. Mothers, this is your day. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. This is your day. This is your day. This is your day. And so we hope and pray that God will continue to bless you not only all day today, but all for the rest of the years of your life, because you deserve it. I pray that if there's someone here who has never experienced the love of God that is so close to the love of a mother, that this will be your time of decision. Let me ask you, what have you learned from your mother? But not only that, what have you applied that you've learned from your mother? And so today I want to say to everybody here, because regardless of whether your mother's here on this side of time or has since gone on home to glory, we must honor God. And we honor God by honoring or paying tribute to your mother. And again, whether she's with you today or not, respect her, for she is a gift from God to you. Honor God today by honoring or paying tribute to your mother, by being the best son or the best daughter that you can possibly be. Honor God today by honoring or paying tribute to your mother, by learning from her, listening to her, and applying it to your life. For no matter how old or how young you are, when your mother looks at you, for everybody in here has a mother. Yes. And I recognize that I'm talking to some individuals whose circumstance may not be the best to think about. And you're sitting here saying, well, Pastor King, I hear what you're saying, but I don't feel like that's my situation. I said before and I say it again, God makes no mistakes. People make mistakes. We do wrong, but you honor God today. For when your mother looks at you, even if she has to look at you from heaven, she looks at you with pride. She looks at you with joy. She looks at you with gratitude. It doesn't matter what the birth was like. Your mother's grateful. And she looks at you and she says, I prayed for this child. And even if you've never heard your mother's prayers, for some of you, mama has had to pray some prayers that you'll never know about. Sitting in the room, the side of the bed, maybe rocking in her favorite rocking chair. She said, I pray for this child. And she's saying to you, and the Lord answered my prayer. So whatever you're feeling right now for your mother, whatever you're feeling right now against your mother, whatever it is that goes against, that goes contrary to the love of God, you hear from me today. It's the voice of God who's saying that mama says, I prayed for this child. And guess what? She's even talking about you. Doesn't matter if you're the baby boy, the baby girl, you were in the lineage. Mama prayed for you. And she said, I prayed for this child. Doesn't matter how many siblings you have. You are that this child that she prayed for. You need to know that even you are an answer to your mother's prayer. She knows. She says that the Lord answered my prayer and gave them to me. I'm translating for mama now. But there's going to come a time when you trying to figure out if mama loves you, and you're angry at mama because she stopped giving you stuff. She said, I've stopped giving you stuff, but I haven't stopped giving you to the Lord. She said, I give them back to the Lord. You need to know that whether mama's here or whether mama's in heaven, you need to know that mama, it is well with mama's soul. Because mama's saying, they will belong to the Lord all their lives. It all started with a mother's prayer. This morning in Sunday school, something grabbed me at the end of Sunday school. And it grabbed me because I knew the message that God had given me. And what's amazing is it was said at the end of the story of Jonah. It was simply said that when earnest prayer meets a gracious God, the result is a preserving love. When earnest prayer meets a gracious God, the result is a preserving love. Guess what? You all are the result of a preserving love. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. It doesn't matter how you feel about mama. It doesn't matter how you feel about your parents. We are here as a result of preserving love. And if nobody else is preserving love, it was the love of the Most High God, because it was God who first loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've come into this place today, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and every heart is praying, I'm going to ask that the deacons would stand and position themselves. I'm going to ask that the ushers would stand and position themselves. But every eye, head is bowed, every eye is closed, and every heart is playing.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.